chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 19 through verse 36. Book of John, chapter 1, verses 19 through verse 36. And this is the record of John. That would be John the Baptist in this case. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias or Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day," different day, "John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We see here in verses 1 through 18 of the Gospel of John, we have the introduction, if you will, to the book. In reality, it's more a theological introduction that sets the groundwork and tone of the entire book. But in those opening verses, we find some truths about Jesus Christ, in particular, the nature of Christ, that he is God, he is with God. It is clearly set forth in the opening verses that he is God, and yet he is distinct from God the Father. We see in those opening verses that he's eternal. He's also presented to us as the creator of all things. That he is the Word. That means he is the expression and he is the revelation of God himself. He is declared to be the life, that is, he is the source of all lives. He is the light, that is, he is the shining of the nature of God in the darkness of the world. And in verse 14, it says, this one who is God, who is the Creator, who is the Word, who is the life, who is the light, that he became flesh. Also in this introduction, in verses 1 through 18, we find some truths about people. Notice verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Tells us something about man. And in verse 10, he, Jesus, was in the world. And though the world was made by him, the world knew him not. Again, telling us something about people. In verse 11, he came unto his own, speaking of the Jews, and his own received him not. They knew him not. They received him not. And we learn from verses 12 and 13 that those who do receive him, it is the direct result of the work of God and not man. Also in the introduction, verses 1 through 18, we learn some truths concerning John the Baptist. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. And that brings us to our text, where the Apostle John proceeds to the testimony of another. He is recording the testimony of another individual, that being John the Baptist. Notice verse 19, and this is the record of John. And we see in verse 32, and John bare record. And in verse 35, or verse 34, and I saw and bare record. So this is the testimony. John is referring to the testimony. The Apostle John is referring to the testimony of John the Baptist. Now, this testimony, in our text anyway, there's a three-day account. We have day one in verses 19 through 28. Coming to verse 29, we read the next day. So that brings us into day two. And that's recorded from verse 29 through verse 34. And then in verse 35, we again read the next day, bringing us into day number three. So in our text, covers a three-day period, and we hear and we see John the Baptist introducing Jesus Christ. And that's our subject. John the Baptist introduces Christ. First of all, we want to consider the event that is before us, 3 days. And then we want to make some application. The event before us, all 3 days, take place in the Jordan Valley. The particular place is mentioned, verse 28, Bethabara. It means a place of a ford, not the car. A place of passage. That's very significant when you consider what is happening here. A place of passage. And what we see here is a passage from John the Baptist to Christ. So the place is significant. As we arrive at this place in the Jordan Valley, there's a man. He's an eccentric man. He's different. He is a wilderness man. We learn from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5. On this occasion, he is wearing a coat of camel's hair and a leathern girdle around his waist. And his diet was locusts and wild honey. And his name is John the Baptist. And there he is in the Jordan Valley. As you come closer to him, you can see he is speaking. Not as a person would speak to a person next to him, but he is proclaiming a message. And if you were to get closer, you could hear the message. Matthew 3, verse 2. Repent. That's the message. Repent. And we see he's not only proclaiming a message, he's baptizing. And notice in Matthew 3, if we turn over there, large crowds have gathered. Then went out to him Jerusalem. That's a lot of people. And all Judea. And all the region round about Jordan. And John's words, John's message, gripped the hearts of many in that crowd. People came. People listened. And people began to tremble under the conviction of sin. Now in our text, in verse 19, we see that the Sanhedrin sent a delegation of priests and Levites to find out, who is this man? Who is this individual? In Matthew 3, as they are approaching, John the Baptist preaches about a coming wrath to come. As these Levites and priests are approaching, he says, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he also preached concerning a coming judgment. Verse 10 of Matthew 3. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. He also speaks of a coming judge. Verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In our text, John chapter 1, the delegation comes to John the Baptist. He's preaching. He's preaching to them as they approach. And their question is, who art thou? Who art thou? And verses 20 through 22, we see that conversation. Are you Elijah? Are you Christ? No, I'm not Christ. Are you Elijah? No. Are you that prophet that the Old Testament spoke of? No. Who art thou? What do you say of yourself? We have to go back to the Sanhedrin and give a report. Tell us who you are. And he refers to the book of Isaiah. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But the only thing they were interested in is, who are you? And why are you doing what you're doing? In other words, where did you get your authority? to preach, and to baptize. And he replies in verse 26, "There standeth one among you whom ye know not." And he's referring to Jesus. There's one among you right now, but you don't know him. And then in verse 27, he declares the greatness of this one. "He it is, that is the one who standeth among you, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." So part of the message of John the Baptist on day one was, "There standeth one among you." In other words, Jesus is here. That was the message of day one. Jesus is here. He is preaching to a religious crowd, and he is saying, "The one that you need is here. He's here among you, but you don't know him. You don't know who he is." Perhaps they looked around to see if they could pick him out. But the message was, Jesus is here. Now, they were there for all the wrong reason. That is, these Levites and priests. All they care about is, who are you? Where did you get your authority? And may I say, for whatever reason you are here, regardless of your condition, regardless of your need, you need to hear these words of John the Baptist, "There standeth one among you." There standeth one among you. He's the one spoken of in verses 1 through 18. He's the architect of the universe. And he stands among you. He's the sustainer of all things. And he stands among you. He's the Almighty, the Eternal One without beginning or end, the immutable, the immortal one. And he standeth among you. For whatever reason, you're here. That's not the issue. The issue is, there standeth one among you. And he's greater than all. He's the owner of all. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. The one and only Savior. The one and only Deliverer and Emancipator. There standeth among you the one and only way to God. There standeth among you the one and only door into the presence, into the blessings of God. There standeth among you the one and only mediator between God and man. John's message that day was, Jesus is here. And that's the message today as well. Jesus is here. For whatever reason you're here, I can assure you right now, there standeth one among you. And he's not like the person sitting next to you, or the person sitting down the pew, or the person behind you, or the people in front of you. There standeth one among you. He it is who is preferred before me. John the Baptist says. So I can assure you today, there standeth one among you greater than Doesn't matter what you put after than. There standeth one among you greater than. There standeth one among you who is the most precious and the most lovely. And we can say that to every sinner we meet. There standeth one among you whom you know not. You need to know him. And he's here. Verse 29, we read the next day. So it's a new day. John's doing the same thing. He's preaching. He's preaching the same message of repentance to the crowd. And as he's preaching, he glances over and he sees Jesus coming out of the crowd. And he's advancing toward John the Baptist. Notice what it says, verse 29. John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Now I got stuck for a couple days on those words. What wonderful words. John seeth Jesus coming unto him. He sees the one that the Old Testament prophets pointed to. The one that the Old Testament types and metaphors and similitudes illustrate and paint a picture of. John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And oh, what joy must have filled the heart of John the Baptist at that moment. John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Oh, the thrill that must have overcome John at this moment. The amazement, the wonder that must have overcome him. So Jesus is moving through the crowd, passing by individuals. He's approaching John the Baptist. And John points and says, "Behold!" And he's pointing at Jesus Christ. "Behold!" It's a word of exclamation. And now all eyes are upon Jesus as he's walking by. If someone points and says, "Look!" you're going to look. And that's what happened here. John points as this man is moving from the crowd and he says, "Look!" And all eyes are now upon Jesus. When John says, "Behold," what he's saying is, "Look! Don't miss this! Don't miss this. Look away from all else. Don't just merely give him a glance, but behold!" That is, fix your eye upon him. "Behold! Look at him! See the significance of what is before you. Be taken up with what is before you." Why? He's the Lamb of God. John says, "Behold! The Lamb of God." We see this eccentric man pointing toward this one who is approaching him, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Now, these are people who, because they thought they were okay, talking about the Jewish people at that time, were looking for a coming king. That's what they were looking for. And they might have expected John to say, "Behold, your king. Behold, the triumphant one. Behold, the majestic and exalted one." John could have used a lot of titles, but he used this one, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. Not merely some lamb. Not merely a lamb, but the lamb. A very particular lamb. Again, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he points. And he exclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He is presenting Jesus Christ to these Jews. And he proclaims him to be the Lamb of God. Now, these Jews knew exactly what that meant. The Jews, through the centuries, knew all about sacrificial lambs. The lambs were sacrificed on a daily basis throughout their history. They had witnessed lambs being sacrificed. They had witnessed their sins being confessed over a lamb. And the laying of the hand upon the head of the lamb and type their sins being transferred to that lamb. And they witnessed the slaying of the lamb. So when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," very simple title, the Lamb, the Jews knew what that meant. And the Jews in their minds would associate the Lamb with atoning sacrifice. They knew that when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," that what John was really saying is, "Behold God's atoning sacrifice." They knew that because of the familiarity with the slaying of lambs. "Behold the Lamb of God." John, in pointing to Jesus and declaring that, is pointing them to their only hope. Their only hope. "Behold the Lamb of God." If you're here and lost today, may I say, there standeth one among you. Behold the Lamb of God. John says to this guilty people, and many of them were feeling their guilt, feeling the power of sin. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." A very significant title of Christ. 26 times in the book of Revelation, he is called the Lamb. The Old Testament sacrificial lambs pointed to this Lamb, Jesus Christ. He is the superior Lamb, and John brings that out. He's identified as God Himself made flesh. He is the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:19, he's a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Jews knew that when they offered a sacrifice, they weren't just walking in the field and you look over and you see a lamb with a broken leg and, hey, that'd be a good lamb to sacrifice. No, no, no. They knew they couldn't do that. Had to be a lamb without blemish, without spot. God's not interested in what you don't want. And when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," this is something special. When Abraham said to his son Isaac, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering," he was not merely referring to that time and place, but he was referring to the one that John introduces here to the Jews. Again, behold the Lamb of God, God's provided sacrifice for sinners. It speaks of the love and the grace of God. We read in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, "Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God." And this is for a sweet-smelling savor. That is, it's pleasing. So he is the Lamb accepted by the one we've sinned against. That's your only hope. You've sinned against God. And it has to be a sacrifice that's pleasing to the one that you've sinned against. So again, we see John pointing to Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God. And then he says that is this Lamb of God, taketh, it's continuous, away the sin. Notice it's singular. It's dealing with the root. Yes, he takes away sins, that's true. But that's not what John said. He taketh away the sin. He gets to the root. He gets to the root of the problem. He taketh away the sin of the world. What does that mean? Well, many will say, well, he takes away the sin of all the world. Well, he doesn't. So it can't mean that. What it means is, for the whole world, there's only one who can take away sin. And it's not the Catholic priest. It's not anyone here. It's Jesus, the Lamb of God. In verse 35, we again read the next day. So it's now the third day. And we see John standing. And it's mentioned in particular that two of his disciples were with him. In verse 36, looking upon Jesus as he walked, they were just looking upon Jesus as he walked. John again said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. With a heart fixated upon him. When you behold the Lamb of God, you will follow him. When you truly behold who he is. These two disciples, they desire to be where Jesus was. We see in verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou?" Verse 39, he saith unto them, come and see. Come and see. What a blessing. Come and see. They came. And they saw. They saw where he dwelt. And here it is. And abode with him that day. What a day. They spent the day with Jesus. It starts with knowing there is one among you. Behold, the Lamb of God. That results in following him and seeing wonderful things. And they abode with him that day. What a blessing. So in our text, make some application and we'll close. The message of John the Baptist is basically threefold concerning Jesus. First, verse 26, there standeth one among you. He's referring to Christ. Know that today. Whatever your need, wherever you are in your life, there standeth one among you, Jesus Christ. Jesus is here. There standeth one among you. Oh, the wonderful possibilities that opens up. There standeth one among you. But then the message advances. Behold. Fix your eye upon him. Behold the Lamb of God. And then he says to two of his disciples, behold the Lamb of God. And they followed him. And if you're here and saved, behold the Lamb of God taking your sins upon himself, being charged with and held accountable for our sins, going to the cross for and in our place, enduring the wrath of God in his own person that was due our sins, and fall down and worship him, and spend the remainder of your days following him, and you'll see wonderful things. They came and saw. Oh, what we'll see when we follow Jesus Christ. If unsaved, know this, there standeth one among you. He's God. He's God in the flesh. He's the Lamb of God. He voluntarily and on purpose, you need to see him. You need to behold him. You need to behold him. You need to see him. Taking your sin upon himself. Being charged with and held accountable for your sins. And going to the cross. For you and in your place and enduring the wrath of God. You might be lost today and you may say, well, I believe all that. Historically, you believe that. But you don't really believe it until you trust it. Until you come unto him. If you're here and lost today, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of, put your name there. Do you believe that today? Can you trust that today? Can you trust your eternity? You're trusting your eternity to something, whether you realize it or not. Can you trust Jesus Christ with your eternity? That's the only thing that I'm depending upon today for the salvation of my soul, is Jesus Christ. There is no other. There is no other. If you're here and lost today, you need to see that. Behold, the Lamb of God. And you need to rejoice that God has provided a sacrifice for sin. And you need to trust Him with your soul. That's your only hope. It's your only hope. What's important here in John 1 is not John the Baptist. The Levites and the priests that came, that's all they cared about. Who are you? That's not what matters. And John told them that when he said, "There standeth one among you." That's the one you need to be concerned about. And that's true today. If you're here and unsaved, I pray that for the first time in your life, you would be able to behold the Lamb of God. We that are saved remember that day. All the guilt, all the misery of feeling the weight of sin. But then, oh, what a glorious sight when we beheld the Lamb of God. I pray that happens to you today if you're here and lost. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.